Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
You know, at this time, early on in the program, we always kind of talk about some little housekeeping items of what's going on at Catholic Radio. And very soon, most of our listeners, or at least a lot of our listeners, will be getting a letter from Catholic Radio. And very simply, not only at Catholic Radio, but at most all not-for-profits that depend on the public to support them, summertime is slow times. People get busy thinking about vacations and trips and all the camps the kids are involved in one thing or another, and things like donating to their favorite charities. Well, it just kind of gets pushed to the back burner and things. So each summer, we try and send out a letter reminding people that, hey, we're here. We do need your support. It doesn't cost you anything to listen to us, but it does cost us, you know, some money to keep the program going.
You know, our parish did that not too long ago. And I was at a parish up at the lake, Clear Lake, it was about this time last year. And it said that at the end of the summer, we miss you. We also miss your envelopes. But so, our parish actually sends out a little notice saying a lot of times people kind of take a hiatus during the summer.
Yeah.
They go hither and yon. Maybe they do go to Lake Cottages. Maybe they do a summer here or there. But as Jim said, Catholic Radio doesn't take a vacation. We still are on 24/7, you know, all throughout the year. And we still have great programming at your fingertips. We haven't mentioned this in a while. We usually only mention it during the radiothons. But I tell you, that app, if you download that app to your smartphone, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and just download it to your smartphone, I carry my phone around with me at home all the time because I don't get a great signal. Mm-hmm. But I carry my phone around with me and I get a crystal clear signal, crystal clear programming all the time. It really is, I think, the best way to listen to Catholic Radio.
It is very easy. And we've got another way. I'm not going to spill the beans just now.
Uh-oh.
But another way we're looking into, I won't say it's better than an app, but it's different than an app for several reasons and very convenient as well. But that's still on the horizon. I want to mention that letter, though. If you do get that letter, and we send out several thousand of them, we certainly hope you will respond to it and be as generous as you can. If you did not get a letter, if you do not get a letter in the next week or 10 days or so, it's not because we don't love you. It's because we don't have your address. And so if you would, you can make a donation on your own just by visiting our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Catholic Radio Indy. You can make a donation there anytime, and especially during these summer months, it really, really will help us out.
You know, I wonder, as you're talking, Jim, if for those people who do spend summers at the lake, because there are a lot of our listeners who do that, if the letter is going to be put either on our website or in our newsletter, do you think that'll, so they can get it by email?
That's a really good point, because we do send out a monthly newsletter, and it's got a good circulation as well. So in some cases, it'll be overlap, but in some cases not. And likewise, we get a lot of traffic to the website with people wanting to hear podcasts of programs and things like that. So good idea. It will be both places.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Our guest today on Faith in Action is an author. And as regular listeners will know, we really don't do that many books here at Faith in Action. We could do, as Jim said early on, we could do two or three books every week if we did every book that came through the door. But we just don't do that. We pick books that are noteworthy, and I read them cover to cover. And then if they are noteworthy for any particular reason, then we have the author on. And this particular one kind of fit the criteria, hit us at the right time. So Stephanie Engelman, welcome.
Thank you, MJ. I'm pleased to be here.
You wrote a book, which we're going to talk about, probably get to the nitty-gritty more in the second half. But the picture on the front and the title were very catchy. And I think without too much inference, I understood right away you were talking about the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book is A Single Bead, A Single Bead. Beautiful, beautiful. I'll ask you more about that in a few minutes. But Stephanie, tell us a little bit about yourself. So what side of town you hail from, what parish, your family, what you do between 9 and 5?
My family recently moved to the Nora area. We were living in Brownsburg for the last 10 years before that. And we've been in Nora for about 2 years. We go to St. Luke Parish now.
Oh, yeah, St. Luke's. Yeah, Monsignor Scheidel. Sure.
Yes, we feel very blessed to be there. I have 5 children, ages 12, 10, 8, 6, and 1. And a husband who has received some probably unwanted notoriety in our area, at least recently, because he fell ill in November. But we just feel very blessed to be in the area we're in. We've had an amazing support network. And
we'll get into that. We'll get into that a little bit, Stephanie. Yes. when you say St. Luke's, Monsignor Scheidel and Sister Diane, last mm-hmm. year, I think, brought into the parish Cymbeline. Have you tied into that yet? Have you tapped into that at all?
I confess I have not. I had great intentions of doing so and have not yet.
Before the program, we were talking about maybe the need within the kind of universal Catholic Church to have some standardized teaching tools and things. And Cymbeline
is
kind of like that.
It's pretty darn good, actually.
It's a service, an on-demand internet service where you go in. I think you can pick the topic or things like that.
You don't have to take it in order. Yeah.
You know, communion or confession or whatever. You just type that in there and you get a very thought-provoking lesson, a very well-laid-out lesson that really gives you a lot of good, solid information.
That's
Cymbeline, and it's something that a parish subscribes to, and then all of the parishioners kind of get the password that's necessary to go on and spend as much time as they want getting all the information.
Sure, and do it at your own pace. The nice thing is you can do it. I do it on my iPad. But you can tap into it on your iPad and you can, 15, 20 minutes, as much time as you have, if you've got an hour and a half, but not many of us have an hour and a half, but 20 minutes and you get a little podcast, if you will. It's absolutely wonderful. And it's real beefy. It's definitely kind of like a virtual catechism. I really like it. They tackle tough topics. You're very blessed that Monsignor Scheidel has purchased that for St. Luke's. Okay, so let's just dive right in. I thought most curious about your story, Stephanie, is that you're a convert. Our listeners love to hear conversion stories. I just contacted a priest, I won't give his name yet because he hasn't agreed to come on, but a pretty popular priest here in town who not many people will know that he's a convert, but what an incredible story he has. In fact, when I heard he was a convert, I was like, really? Really? So we do love to hear conversion stories, Stephanie. So tell us a little bit about yours.
Sure. Well, I grew up as a very lukewarm Methodist. My parents were actually quite active in the church, but I just never really grabbed onto it. And then when I was in my early 20s, my oldest sister, Suzanne, called me. I was living in Colorado with my husband at the time. Suzanne called me and told me that she and her husband were converting to Catholicism.
Oh.
And I said, Suzanne, what are you thinking? Those people are crazy. And she told me that she had actually started exploring it because she wanted to send her children to private schools. She was in the IPS area and was looking at different private schools, and a friend of hers convinced her to look at St. Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, okay, if I'm going to send them to Catholic schools, I at least want to understand what they're learning in religion class.
Sure, sure.
So she picked up some books and started reading, and after she read those books, she went to her husband and said, honey, I think I've got to convert to Catholicism. Her husband read the books and felt even more strongly than she did.
Oh, my.
So Suzanne convinced me that I needed to read these same books that she had read. She sent them to me out in Colorado.
So were these something like Rome Sweet Home?
Exactly.
Or? Okay.
Rome Sweet Home and Born Fundamentalist, Born Again Catholic.
Oh, that's so good. So
and then
good.
After that, I ended up reading Surprised by Truth. And, yes, and they just sort of kept dragging me along. And I actually, cerebrally, I knew. I really believed in my mind that the Catholic Church was the one true church that Christ intended. It made a lot of sense and seemed very biblical, but I just wasn't there. My heart wasn't there. I was having a hard time believing in the Eucharist. Does Jesus really want us to eat his body and blood?
Sure, that is kind of a difficult concept to wrap your
head
around. When you say it like that, it's a difficult concept to wrap your head around,
As a Protestant.
Sure.
And, we lived in Brownsburg at the time, and literally every time I drove down Main Street past the old St. Malachy Church, I began to feel this literal tug towards the church. A very literal tug. And I finally, one day, we had just had our first child, and I told my husband, we had been kind of church shopping, but we had really given up on the Catholic Church. And I told him, I think I've got to go to church at that Catholic church in Brownsburg. And he said, well, have at it, but I'm staying home.
Well, at least he didn't object. How about that?
That is true. So I went to my first, actually it was my second Mass, but my first Mass at St. Malachy, and the moment I walked in the doors, a weight lifted from my shoulders, and I knew that I was home.
And now, did you have any idea the first time you went to Mass that the process would take months? Did you think, because I imagine, I've had a lot of friends, Protestant friends, who church shop, if you will, in quotes, and they go to a Lutheran church, and you pretty much go and sign up, or a Methodist church, you'd go and sign up.
Right.
So, I mean, you're interested, and you're in the door. End of story.
I was horribly disappointed. It was the beginning of Lent.
So I had a very long time to wait before
I could actually be received into the church.
Oh.
But, I think there's something to be said for that hunger that builds over that period of time as you long to receive the Eucharist and to be a part of the church and you can't have it. It becomes that much more valuable and meaningful.
And you had a few months to try to talk to your husband into coming with you.
He was very adamant that he was not going to do that. But he did eventually convert. But that's a story for another day.
Okay, but not during your timeline.
No.
All right. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Stephanie Engelman, and she has written a book called A Single Bead. I'll give you a little teaser. It's teen fiction. On the back, it says Awakening Faith, Rosary Trauma, and Depression. There's a little teaser on the back that kind of talks about a young girl who finds a bead from her grandmother's rosary after a terrible airplane accident that kills her grandmother, and then it's her hunt, kind of a little mystery and intrigue and discovery along her way to kind of assemble the rosary back together. But the interesting thing is the bead that she finds is her own bead. The rosary had the initials of the children and grandchildren on the rosary, and she finds her own bead, which I thought was kind of interesting. I found myself as I was reading the book thinking, what a great idea. What a brilliant idea. I mean, I have a rosary. I make rosaries myself, and they're kind of jewelry. And I have made one that each decade is for a child, because I have five children. How convenient is that, right? And so each decade is completely different. Decoration-wise, the beads and the jewels are different depending on the flavor of the child in there. But I never thought of each bead. That's really super cool. We will get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But so you started this journey on your own, and you had to wait a little while because you first visited Mass in Lent, which means you had to wait until at least September, so 4 or 5 months even, to join RCIA, and then another 9 months before.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So it was more than a year that I had to wait.
All right. And you had at that time little ones, a couple little ones?
I had just one.
Just one. Okay.
Just
one. And too little to to catechize, probably, right? A little. Okay. Right. So they were going to come along no matter what. You had the decision making.
You know, our priest would not baptize him until I was received in the church.
Okay.
And that was the hardest thing. You know, I mean, it was not only did I long to be a part of the church, but I really wanted to have my child baptized. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait until after I was received into the church to do that. So that was an extra... you know, little cross during that period of time.
Now, was there anything about the Catholic Church when you were either when you were going through or waiting for the process that you considered a stumbling block?
You know, as I prior to my reading and my investigations, I really just thought that Catholics were weird. They kneel, they do these funny things with their hands crossing themselves and goodness only knows what else. They pray to saints. They worship Mary. You know, I had a lot of misconceptions.
Sure.
Once I started, Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn are awesome and do a really good job of debunking those myths.
In very layperson's terms.
Yes.
Which I do. I give them full credit for that because the first time I read that book and then I gave it to my kids, it's so easy to read. It's a page. It literally is a page flipper. And who would think that that a book about church might be a page flipper? Right. But truly it is.
It is. Well, you've got the husband and the wife in conflict with each other. Right. I mean, they're in conflict
that's
with their pasts to begin with.
Right.
But then there's this conflict within them.
Yeah, I found her story very interesting that she held off.
It's kind of like two parallel stories. You know, Scott tells where he is, what he's thinking at this time, and then his wife in the very
next
chapter.
That was a very brilliant idea.
Very clever.
It was. Yeah, very clever.
And you can kind of see what direction each is going and, who's tugging who at what point and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump into this book because there were several things in this book that I thought I was scratching my head thinking, how would you even know this? Because I knew you were a convert. I didn't know how long. So how long have you been a Catholic?
I have been a Catholic now for 11 years.
Still relatively new. 11 years. And the concepts that you brought up in this book, it seemed to me several of them that I thought you would have to be a person who was well familiar with your faith, almost a cradle Catholic. And you posited ideas and inserted thoughts that were from years and years of understanding of the Catholic faith. So I thought that was very interesting. Very clever of you, Stephanie. Okay, so tell us about how this book, first of all, why write a book? And you wrote for a genre that wasn't like, it was a special genre. It's a teen genre. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, why?
Well, I think that was all God. I actually was planning to write a Bible study on the rosary. And to do that, I decided that I had to have a theology degree. Well, to do that, I had to find a way to make some money. And I had already written a children's book on the rosary. So I went online looking for a publisher for that book. And I stumbled across Pauline Books and Media's website. And on their author manuscript requirements, they stated that they were specifically looking for Catholic young adult fiction.
Uh-huh.
And that caught my eye, but I literally laughed out loud and I said, God, if you want me to write Catholic young adult fiction, you're going to have to give me the idea because I got nothing. And I just sort of left it there, but I knew, it was still like this, just this thing that was kind of percolating in my head. I knew that God wanted me to do something with this. Well, then it was October, mind you, the month of the rosary.
Oh, the month of Mary, the month of the rosary, yep.
So a few days later, someone tweeted to me on Twitter, my handle is at a few beads short because I'm a few beads short of a rosary. And someone tweeted, at a few beads short, but have you ever thought of the power of a single bead? And I wrote back and I said, oh, that's such a great idea. I'm going to write a blog post about that. You know, I love it. Well, my family and I went to a movie. I was totally not thinking about that. And then on the way home from the movie, I just instantly had the seed for this novel. It just struck and it was, yes, there is a single bead. It is this single bead that this girl finds in a field after her grandmother's plane has crashed. And I knew, it was going to be a personalized rosary. I had all of that. I didn't know what the conflict was going to be. I didn't know about her mother, struggling with the death of her own mother. But I knew that it would revolve around these rosary beads and that there would be some mystical, miraculous experiences associated with these rosary beads.
And I'm not going to give too much away, listeners, because There's a lot of twists and turns in this book. I think it starts out, I thought it was going to be one thing. I kind of went in another direction. I didn't quite, and I won't say too much about the mother's struggle, but I think the mother's struggle is very interesting. I think we can all relate to that in one way, shape, or form. And I wondered as I was reading it, if you had personal, because it was so real, it was so palpable, it was so clear, but the mother struggles with a disease, basically. Mm-hmm. And I say that, I'm not going to say what it is, but she does struggle with a disease throughout the book. And I wondered if you had any familiarity with it because you wrote so honestly and candidly about it.
You know, honestly, I do not have any personal experience. I was a, and I don't want to give anything away, but I was a psychology major in college. So that gave me, you know, some understanding of the disease. But it's funny because I have since heard from someone who was in facilities that this mother is in the book. And she and my friend asked me, did you go there? Did you tour it? How did you know?
Yeah, it was
how
very
did you
real.
Know?
It was very firsthand.
What
it sounded
it's like.
Very firsthand. Yeah.
And I had never gone. And yet someone who's been in that same place said that it was depicted very accurately.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, Stephanie Engelman, author of A Single Bead, Pauline Press is where you can get it, Pauline Press.
Pauline. Pauline.org.
Pauline.org. Mm-hmm.
Other places
and it's,
too?
It's or? Also available, I believe, at most of the Catholic bookstores now in town.
Maybe Celtic Cross?
I know the Celtic Cross has it. Angel's Corner down in Southport has it, and I believe Village Dove and Holy Family were going to get it, and Creek Brothers is thinking about it, too.
Wow.
Okay, so let me just throw a little teaser out there.
Yeah, not ask for it.
Exactly.
They'll find you one.
I wondered if you had, and I mentioned this in the first half, spiritual advisors on the book or a priest advising you or an older mentor, because you mentioned several things in the book that had me wondering, scratching my head, how would you know this? For instance, the smell of roses connected with the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's something that not many people know. You almost have to be a Marianist. You almost really have to be tied into a Marian movement to one. I have experienced that in my lifetime. Have you ever, Jim?
Have not.
It's just, and when it has happened to me, the few times it's happened, it's always take, I look around like, where's the obvious? Where are the obvious roses in this room? Where are the obvious? And when they're not there, it just is like, it's a profound moment of, oh, it's just, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced that?
I have not experienced the roses, but I've heard the stories of people who have.
Yeah.
Pretty much every miracle that I discuss in the book is in some way, shape, or form derived from a story that I've heard.
Okay.
So every miracle is in some way based upon truth. But, you know, I honestly didn't have a spiritual advisor. I just really opened myself up and said, you know, Mother, give me your words. Holy Spirit, give me your
Maybe
words.
Maybe you really and did have a spiritual advisor,
I think,
though.
I think that was it. Yeah.
You know, as I read through the book, I thought, and I did ask myself why you wrote the book. I know that you had a personal struggle. I don't know where it came in the timeline, whether you wrote the book first or whether your husband went through the really tragedy last fall. But which came first?
I wrote the book 2 years before his heart attack.
Oh, okay. And so tell us a little bit about your husband. Help us.
So my husband, Ray, suffered a heart attack very unexpectedly. Everyone, you know, he appeared to be in good health, 43-year-old man with 5 children, and I found him on our family room floor November 19th, and he was gone. There was no heartbeat. He was not there. We came to find out that he had had a massive heart attack, and he suffered severe brain damage as a result. So at this point in time, he has survived, and he is doing miraculously well. But we've got a very long, probably 3-year road in front of us while he will be recovering from the brain injury. And I truly believe that a single bead was actually a gift to help prepare me to go through this experience. It strengthened my faith and helped me to see how a strong faith will bring you through even the worst of times.
And has that? Have you thought that over and over again? Because as I read this book, I didn't know which came first, your husband's accident or this book. But as I was reading through the book, I thought, yeah, you could draw on this. Yes, you could draw on this. Because so many times you refer back to the Blessed Mother and not only the power of meditation, but drawing into the Blessed Mother and actually the physical, the relationship, the mm-hmm. personal relationship of Kate, the young girl, with a mother that was not her earthly mother, but
right.
mother who Mother Mary, who became a very powerful influence in her life, really, mm-hmm. truly. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you felt the same way.
You know, I'm a huge rosary girl. I love the rosary. That's what drove me to write, you know, other than just feeling that that was what God wanted me to do. The purpose of the book in my mind is to inspire people to pray, and in particular to pray the rosary. And to me, when you pray the rosary, it's almost like exercising a mental, spiritual muscle. You're practicing the responses of the Blessed Mother and of Jesus to different situations in their lives, and thinking about, we all think about our own personal lives as we're praying the rosary, but we're thinking about how we can apply their responses to our own lives and change our responses.
I want to read something. We just have a little under a minute left, but I want to read something that you attributed to St. John the 23rd, Pope, from 1958 to 1963, recently canonized. By praying the rosary, those in heaven and on earth share their feelings, words, and actions. And that's on one of the very first pages of this book. And it also is beautiful to remember that every time we say a Hail Mary, and in the book you mentioned several times admonishing the girl to, you know, just pray a Hail Mary, just pray a Hail Mary. And that's such a wonderful, powerful thing. When my mother died, my brother said the same thing. Whenever she comes to mind, just pray a Hail Mary for her. And if you think about it, we're asking the Blessed Mother to pray for us now in the moment, and at the hour of our death. So think how many Hail Marys you've said in your lifetime, and we are begging her to pray for us at the hour of our death. I mean, if that doesn't move us to say a Hail Mary now and again, what else can?
You know, I bet there's a lot of people listening right now that says, that sounds like a great book, but what's the title? Where do I get it?
Stephanie?
It is A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman, and you can get it at, I believe, any Catholic bookstore that we have here in town. We'll be carrying it or carrying it soon, and it's also available through Pauline.org.
Pauline.org. Stephanie Engelman, our guest today on Faith in Action. God bless you, and thank you so much for writing this book.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.